Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see everyone here. Good to see new faces as well as the familiar faces. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're going to read from verse 13 to 17. I would encourage you to have your own Bible, paper, or electronic open in case there is more than just what's written here. But we'll read together verse 13 through 17. We'll read from the NIV, which is in your bulletin. Just to warn you, a few words will be different if you have your paper Bible from the pew. That's the NIV 1987 or 84, and this is probably 2011. Is that right, Jim? The one in bulletin. So I'll be reading from the 2011 from the bulletin. So let's read. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. The very words of God. Amen. I'm going to sort of deviate from our text a little bit. I didn't plan to speak on two stories, but maybe the Holy Spirit said, talk about it. Somebody needs to hear it. But today being Mother's Day, I was originally planning just to preach on this text and just how it connects to Mother's Day. But this last week, this last 2 weeks, I was reading in my Bible time, my devotional time, two particular stories of motherhood and two of my particularly favorite stories. The first one is about a woman named Hannah. You'll find her story in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And she was a woman who loved her husband, wanted children, but could never have children. She was barren. So this was a big source of depression for her. And very discouraged, she was just down, and her husband would say, isn't my love enough for you? Isn't my love the same as 100 children for you? You know, kind of a foolish husband. And she just was like, just okay, leave me alone. And she went to the temple, and she would go and just heartbroken. And she went to the door of the temple, and she would just pour out her heart in prayer. And it wasn't a prayer out loud. She wasn't yelling and screaming. She was just earnest in prayer. And you couldn't hear her voice, but you could kind of see her lips moving. And the priest at the time, a man named Eli, would see her and be like, oh, man, these drunk women. And he would say, woman, would you stop drinking? You know, it's still early in the morning. You don't need to be drinking at this time. And she says, well, no, I'm not drunk. I'm praying to my God, and I'm crying out to him. And Eli sees his mistake, and he says, oh, I'm so sorry. And he blesses her. He says, may the Lord grant you your request from your heart. And she goes home, and a year later, lo and behold, she conceives and has a pregnancy. And she promised that, you know, if the Lord would give her a child, she would say, Lord, this child is all yours,
completely yours. You give me something, I'm going to give it completely back to you. And our God is so gracious, so kind, and so full of compassion. He hears the cries and he counts the tears of a woman whose heart is broken for motherhood. And he gives her the baby. She names it Samuel. He goes on to be a major prophet in the Bible. And not just Samuel, but then God gives her three more sons and two more daughters, just as a bonus, you know. Then there's another story that touched me as well. It's also a story of motherhood. If you're familiar with the story of Ruth, Ruth is a woman who was the daughter-in-law of a Jewish woman named Naomi. And if you read the book of Ruth, it's as much about her mother-in-law, Naomi, as it is about Ruth. And what's powerful about the book of Ruth is the story of Naomi. And Naomi is a woman who was married and she had two sons. There was a famine in the land. They moved to another country called Moab to find work and to just live and survive. And while there, her husband dies. And without having any children, without having any grandchildren, her two sons die as well. And she's left with two daughters-in-law. And she's got no grandchildren, no other sons to carry on the name. And if you're a woman who has no husband, no sons, you're destitute. You're a widow, and you're, in a sense, cursed. And so she wanted to change her name. She legally tried to change her name from Naomi to Mara, bitter. She wanted to be a bitter old woman. And the story of Ruth is how one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, clung to her and became her daughter and moved back to the homeland of Israel, and how there's this wonderful story of love with a man named Boaz, who was the redeemer and was legally able to marry Ruth, and then through the marriage, bear a child that would help carry on the name and inheritance of Naomi. And the end of the book is Naomi's thankful prayer, song, saying how God has taken a woman with nothing and has heard her brokenness, her cries, her destitution, and had mercy, grace, compassion on her as well. I love these stories. And they're only two examples of so many in the Bible of God showing a special attention to moms, to women in certain circumstances that are outside of the original plan. You see, for many of us, we see that, yeah, God made Adam and Eve, and then they had the kids, and God's plan for society, for earth, for humanity is mommy and dad having children and you know, being the foundation of society. And so there are single people, there are childless people, or there are people who have lost their children, who are outside of what's the traditional quote-unquote structure of a family, and there's a kind of a sorrow and a sadness. There's a single mom. I was raised by one. There's always the person in our family who has had trouble, who maybe have lost a child, people in our own community who have gone through the heartaches, and they question, am I cursed? Does God hear me? What did I do? And God If you read your Bible, chapter after chapter, story after story, there's so many women who were widows, who were husbandless but had a child, who had no child. God hears the prayers and the cries and the petitions of so many of these women who know that they're inadequate, they can't raise this kid by themselves, they just want to have a child, and he says, oh, I'll love you and I'll bless you. The child dies and Jesus raises up the child from death. It's just all kinds of stories. So I didn't plan on this, but I just want you to know, if you're someone who is in extraordinary circumstances with your children, with a spouse, or with something, and you're a woman, I'm talking to the ladies right now, God hears and God counts the tears of the woman in those circumstances. And I know that because I read my Bible and I see him do it again and again and again. And God took me, who was the son of a single mother and was faithful to my mom and faithful to me and still is. So I want you to this day, we are appreciating moms, but I want to get even further than that to a place where David goes, to where it's not just appreciating moms, but seeing where they belong in our life. But before we get to that message, I just wanted to just preach a little bit before that, to just encourage you, to bless you, to build you up, and to let you know if you're crying out to God, maybe you could cry some more because he loves. He doesn't love it, but he weeps with you. He's broken for you, and he hears those cries. But along those lines, let's get into our text. We're in Psalm 139. This is a massive psalm, just one of my favorites. And just to preach on a little portion of it on one Sunday is not enough. I want to preach on it again next week to just let it breathe for a little bit more. But today we're focusing on a little bit about where it talks about mom, okay? Just to give you a brief big picture, which is necessary to understand what's happening in our section, this psalm is about not knowing God, but God knowing us. Amen. I know you've come here today, and you think, well, I'm here to sing. I'm here to offer my worship to God. I'm here to get to know God. Because I know the more I know him, the more answers I can have. And there'll be more questions, but at least I'll have someone who can answer them. And in knowing God, I can do that. But I want you to understand today, God knows you. And God knows you better than you know yourself. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you have tried me, verse 1 says. And you know everything about me. Everything from what I do, to what I think, to what I say. You know me. And I'm going to speak more about that next week. But I want you to know that's the overlying theme of this psalm is intimacy. Can you say it with me? Intimacy. Intimacy. It's into me, see. Okay, see into me. That's what the theme of this psalm is God has intimacy with us, and he knows us so much more than we even know ourselves that David, at the first part, is like, wow, this is too much for me. And then he gets to an amazing point where he turns the corner and he understands, this is good for me. I want to be known, but the weird thing is I don't want to be known at the same time. Does that make sense? Let's talk real talk. Facebook. Who's not on Facebook? That's what I thought, right? Nobody's here. Why? Because we want to be known. We want to post something and we want at least 10 or 50 likes on our posts. And we want to share. But you know what? We're not going to post everything, are we? We're not going to post the zit that's on this there, or we're not going to post, you know, our mistake at work. We're not going to post that person that we don't care. You know, we don't post everything because we don't want to be known. So there's this weird paradox with us that we want people to see and like and comment about, but there's another side, so you're not going to see that. Because if you see that, we're in trouble, right? Now, what percentage is this versus this? Right? Okay. All right. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch, but it's all right. But that's what's happening in Psalm 139. Is David is saying, whoa, God knows me. Ooh, God knows me? What do I do with that? It, the first part is, oh, he's overwhelmed. And then this part where we're looking at, he says, wait a minute. Intimacy. God, you formed my inmost being. Verse 13. What is the literal word there is the guts, the inside. And what he's saying is, you made my true character. The part you can't see, the one I can't show everybody, you made that. You know that, and still you love me, despite all of that. And so you know what's all that's inside of me. And then he says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. There is a role that my mother played in me being who I am. Moms, oh moms. More than the dads. Dads, we're, you know, we played a little bit of a role to some degree, but even physically, even psychologically, emotionally, there is some part of you in us that is intricate to our being who we are as people, as a human being. My humanity comes partly from my mother because God knit me together in my mother's womb. So there is an intimacy there with my mom that's superseded by my intimacy with God. It's just this amazing miracle. And so he goes from the thought of that to he says, well, let me just stop for a minute and let me praise God. Verse 14, I praise you because I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that. He says, let me just stop the thought and just let me praise right now. And I look at that and I say, come on. Because I'm one of the most cynical people I know. My wife, months ago, you know, she's about 7 or 8 months pregnant. She's this big. She's got like a watermelon right there. And, you know, the alien is growing inside of her. And it's not kicking. It's moving around. And you could see the, you know, I don't know if it's a foot or a hand, but it's moving in her skin, and she's, oh, mi da, put your hand here. You know, it's amazing. I'm like, honey, this is our fourth one. This is not new to me. We've done this before and before and before. And I'm not, I know, I'm laying down, and I don't, if I put my hand there, it's kind of weird, and I got to twist, and I got to turn. I don't need this. And she's like, no, it's a miracle. It's a mystery. I'm like, whatever. But that's what David's doing. He's saying, this is amazing. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Wow. And it's not just this sentimentality about it. He's saying it's a fearful thing. The fact that in my mom, I was made, and not just the insides of me were made in the insides of my mother. There is something fearful about that. Fearful. It means heavy. It means you don't mess with that. You don't decide if that's yours or not. You don't decide whether you're going to carry on with that or not. That's a fearful thing. There is, and he goes even further at the end of the psalm we read in verse 17. He says, even from that point where I was in the secret place, I was in the place where you can't be seen, even there, all the days of my life were written in your book before they were even made. Right? You remember reading that? He says, God had a plan for me even there. Listen, listen. Nobody here is an accident. There are no accidental children. There are accidental parents. But God said, you were made not by your parents. You were made by me. And every day before they even happened, were already set by me. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got things for you to do. I've got a glory for you to live for. You're not an accident. Amen, somebody. Now, we've made mistakes. We've done things outside of the will of God. And just as a pastor, I want to help you right now. If you are at that point or you've made some mistakes along those lines, it's covered. We took the cup and we took the bread. The grace of God covers all of our sins. And that's what we rejoice in. The grace of God, the love of God that covers over all sins. But at the same time, we acknowledge the truth of God. And he doesn't play softball. He says, this is what I meant by it. That life that was in there was by me. I'm the author of that. It's a fearful thing and wonderful at the same time. Let's move on. He goes back from the praise and he continues his thought. He says, I was woven together in the secret place. And in the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. He's saying this now. We need to go back to our first thought. God sees all of what we want him to see, and God sees all of what we don't want him to see. And now we have a problem. We have a problem because, God, you see all of that in me, and still, really, really, God, you still want to love me? Like, you can handle that? And so we go now from Psalm 139, we go out to a place called Romans. Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just sum it up for you. But in Romans chapter 1, it says that everybody has this problem. That we all want to be known by God, but we don't want to be known by God. We have this problem. We're stuck. Because to know God, to be known by God, it means I'm going to be humiliated and embarrassed and naked and shamed and guilty to be really known by God. And there's going to be closets going to be opened. There's going to be mess everywhere, dirt and filth. Oh, that's what Romans is saying, is if God really got in there, it's game over. But at the same time, Romans 1 says, no. You see, when God comes in there, something happens. And then we go to a place called Ephesians chapter 1. Or even Colossians chapter 1, or in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about Jesus. When he comes to us, he washes us clean. Like a husband and a bride, he washes us clean, presenting us without blemish, completely pure before him. And not just that, but beautiful. God sees us through Christ as beautiful, gorgeous, lovely. What? You mean you see all of that and you don't turn away in disgust, but no, you see us as beautiful? He says, yes. He says, I see you to the very bottom and I love you to the very stars in the sky. Through Jesus Christ. That's what we have in Jesus. Let me, I'm almost lost. Let me see if I can get there. Excuse me. So this is what happens when you go without notes. You just kind of have to find your way along. So he takes us, he washes us clean. Go back with me. This is the last place I'll go. Verse 17, he says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. That's the word, precious, okay? Intimacy and precious. Now, in English, the word precious is kind of just precious. Kind of this light, dainty, "Oh, you're so precious." No. That's not what David's saying. The word precious in the Bible, that's the word you use to describe gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, sapphire, jewel, wealth. Okay? And so what David is saying is, God, for me to understand the depths of which that you know me and the immensity of which you love me, that is worth more to me than all the wealth in the world. How precious to me are your thoughts, to know you, and more than that, to be known by you is wealth. It's precious. It's better than gold and silver. Are you catching the image he's trying to share with you? And that brings us to the last bit. You see, religious people who think church is just something for God to bless me, they see God as useful. If I go to church, if I read the Bible, if I pray, then God will bless me. It's useful, God. But no. Christians who understand the God of grace, they'll see God not as useful, they'll see God as beautiful, as precious. And they'll see what he did there out of his love for me and say, "That is the most beautiful thing that anyone could ever do for me. And out of that, I will live my life." And so David, we're talking, just to close it up, tie it up, with moms. Moms are great. And even with failed moms, with moms with mistakes, there's grace. Why? Because let's go back. In verse 13 and 14, you'll see, "I was formed in my mother's womb, but I'm going to praise God." And so today on Mother's Day, here's what we do. We appreciate moms, but we praise God. Yes? We honor mothers, because it says to honor your mother and father. But if there's going to be praise and if there's going to be thanksgiving, it's going to be towards God. "I praise you because I was fearfully and wonderfully made." And what that does is two beautiful things. It says to the child, it says, your mom, she doesn't have to be God. You're going to disappoint her. You're going to fail her. And that's okay, because she's not God. And so if she condemns you, if she gives you the guilt trip, you're free from that, because there's a higher power for you to please. And that frees you, and that frees your mother. And you can say, "Mom, you can be mom, but God is going to be God." And there's a freedom there, somebody, yes. But then on the flip side, if you are a mom, if you are a mother, there is a place for the guilt trip, yes. By all means, use the guilt trip. It's fair. I think it is. Because you have that, right. But that's not the all-powerful card. The guilt card, okay? Because you're not God. You don't have to be God anymore, mothers. You can let God be God, and you could just be mom. And you could be free to be a mom. You can make mistakes. You can fail. You can be inadequate. And in your weakness, let God be strong. And in your inadequacy, let God be completely adequate to do everything that you can't, obviously. Yes. Amen. So we honor mothers, but we praise God. Yes, we appreciate moms, but we glory in Him alone. So whether you're a mom or you have a mom, let God be God, let your mom be mom. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a precious thought. And let's go to the Lord with that. Would you meditate, pray with me? Oh Lord, we're so thankful. We are. We're thankful and we're humbled by the truth of your word. Lord, some of us, this is news to us, and I hope that it's good news. I hope it's the gospel news. And so, Lord, I pray for the mothers here who are in special circumstances, whether it's single motherhood, whether it's being apart from their child, whether it's just whatever, God. I pray for your grace upon grace and compassion in these situations. And then, Father, for us who have almighty and powerful moms, Lord, we release them just to be moms, and we'll humble ourselves before you to be our God. And then, Lord, for the mothers here who feel so inadequate and so powerless, Lord, let them wait upon you and receive your strength. And Lord, wherever we fall under these categories, we bring ourselves to Jesus himself, thanking him for the grace to live. And Lord, just to be known by him and having that precious thought being our wealth, our beauty, our praise, Lord. So we give these things to you. We thank you that you change us and that you continue to transform us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.